Let me ask you first, how did this research begin? How did this work start?
Well, this is the latest in a series of breakthrough papers on analyzing tumors at great depth using new technical platforms called next-generation sequencing. The key here is we're really getting at the fundamental changes in cancer cells that make them different from normal cells, and from there we get new roadmaps as to how to treat and manage the disease.
And I think the average person takes for granted that we know a great deal about genetics and about DNA and so on and so forth, but is there a lot yet that we don't know?
There's a huge amount we don't know. The human genome is enormous. 3 billion base pairs make up all the genetic information we all carry around in each one of our cells. And so when a cancer arises, any one of those 3 billion base pairs can become abnormal. And sometimes those changes are important, and sometimes those changes are actually red herrings. They're nothing to do with the formation of the cancer. So repeating this experiment many, many times in one type of cancer allows us to pinpoint the key changes that cause cancer, because what we see is that certain changes occur again and again and again, and that fingers a gene or event as being very critical to cancer formation. And we've never been able to do this before. This really is a breakthrough in cancer research that's close to putting a man on the moon.
Really? Okay. So would you explain to me then what this development has been?
So we've known for a while that breast cancer is not one disease, but the breast can produce different tumor types with very different clinical characteristics. The problem is that before, whilst we knew these different disease entities existed and we could see how to diagnose them, we didn't really understand fundamentally what the nature of the differences were, what were driving the different types of breast cancer at the fundamental level of the changes in DNA. And that's what these papers provide us.
And this deals with one specific type of breast cancer, is that right?
Well, these papers deal with all different types of breast cancer, but there's one result which has caught a lot of people's eye. When we were analyzing the data, we noticed there was one kind of breast cancer called basal-like breast cancer, and no matter how we profiled it using a variety of different profiling technologies that look at different types of functions in the DNA, this one standout type was so different from all the other breast cancer types. We asked the question, well, what kind of cancer is it most similar to, regardless of where those cancers arise in the body? And the result was it's most similar to a aggressive form of ovarian cancer. So these two tumors are close cousins genetically, which is very interesting because, in fact, we treat ovarian cancer and breast cancer of this type with different drugs, and it leads to the hypothesis that perhaps we could learn a lot from the way we treat ovarian cancer in terms of how we treat this form of breast cancer that occurs in about 15% of our patients.
And how significant is that in terms of being able to treat these two cancers?
Well, there's one drug we use in breast cancer that we don't use in ovarian cancer called an anthracycline. And this drug is actually a difficult drug to use from the patient's perspective because it's quite toxic. And on top of that, it may cause heart damage and leukemia. So if our relationship with ovarian cancer is true, then maybe we don't actually need to use this drug to treat this particular form of breast cancer. And this is an observation that we made a few months ago and published, and now it's sort of underscored by this close kinship. And then on the ovarian cancer side, there's a couple of drugs, one approved and one in development, which are not routinely used in the treatment of breast cancer, but perhaps should be for the type of breast cancer that looks like ovarian cancer, One's called a platinum agent, and the one in development is called a PARP inhibitor. And so this sort of look across cancers has led to some very interesting hypotheses that could increase the cure rates and perhaps also, in addition, the safety of the chemotherapy administration.
When a person is diagnosed with cancer, and let's say breast cancer, how easy is it, or is it even a common step to determine what type of tumors they have, whether or not it's these basal-like tumors or one of the other types?
Increasingly, these diagnostic approaches are making their way into pathology laboratories, and certainly, increasingly, this is how breast cancer doctors think. And I think the idea of designing individualized regimens for these different types of breast cancer is a sort of here and now concept. I think knowing the background genetics and the relationships across cancers in this way actually allowed us to accelerate our thinking regarding some of these issues I've been raising. Because I think once you understand some of the fundamental biological relationships, that really supports and propels some of the clinical research that's so desperately needed for our patients. In other words, there's less reluctance to change your practice when you understand there's a fundamental reason to change it from the biological perspective, not just from the clinical trials research.
So with the information you've developed so far, how close is that to being applied then in treatments?
We are looking at all this data with intense interest. And I think for each of these different types of breast cancer, the sequencing analysis raises quite different and distinct hypotheses. So just like, let's say, leukemia or lymphoma, which have been long recognized to be separate diseases, this recognition that breast cancer is different enough that we need to have individual recipes for them, just like in leukemia and lymphoma, is something we will definitely see both in clinical practice and in clinical trials medicine in the next 4 or 5 years. And this is an incredibly important concept, because if instead of giving a sort of one-size-fits-all three-drug combination, which is what's been done for years, you really focus on the fact these are different diseases and different biologies, and to address individual hypotheses that really stem from understanding where these diseases are coming from, massive improvements will be seen. I don't think this is going to be a small advance. I think this is going to be quite a significant advance in many instances.
Would you elaborate on that some? You said that you think it's going to be a massive advance. Can you put that into, or just expand on that thought a little bit?
Well, the way we cure breast cancer is that when we diagnose the breast cancer, we know that's the most important time to come up with curative therapy that kills cells that have left the breast and disseminated around the body. And to do that, you need to come up with very effective treatment regimens. And we've known for some years that certain treatment regimens are effective for some of these subtypes and not the others. So we're comfortable with the idea there's differences in responses across these different types of breast cancer. But now, using the genome sequencing information, we can do designer research, if you'd like, that tells us, that address hypotheses that directly stem from this new knowledge. Is where these large advances will come from. Because if you understand something, you can do something about it. If you don't understand something, then you're reduced to comparing one recipe against another one without really knowing what the key thing is that you're supposed to be targeting.
So what do you see as the next step as you continue this research?
Well, clearly the next step is to place this data, first of all, in the hands of physicians who conduct clinical investigation, be able to place this data in the hands of physicians who can discuss it with their patients, but in a very directed way. And by that, I mean we need to do studies where we make these different diagnoses, and in the same breath, we have definite plans for what we do with the information. In other words, we don't just want to put a lot of confusing new information in the hands of doctors and not tell them what to do with it. We want to have a very rigorous research plan supported in part by the National Institutes of Health and in part by the pharmaceutical industry to come up with a much more structured, logical, and in all likelihood, highly effective approach to improving breast cancer outcomes.
And again, coming back to the headline of the article highlights this connection between breast cancers and ovarian tumors. But it sounds from what you're telling me like there could be other combinations out there. There could be other connections between different types. I presume that you'll continue trying to research those?
Absolutely. Although this type of cancer that's highlighted in the press release is important because it's aggressive and causes early death, in fact, more women die of the other subtypes. Although the progression of the disease can be a bit slower, the bottom line is that there's many therapeutic hypotheses here that can be applied to sort of across all these different types of breast cancer. So it's not that this is just hope for the patients who have the ones that look like ovarian cancer. There's hope for all patients with breast cancer, but that hope stems from different understandings of these different subtypes. So it won't be a single solution for all patients, but individualized solutions.
How much of the research or the work, because we're a Missouri network, I'm curious how much of the work is actually happening in Missouri or in St. Louis?
Well, a huge amount of it. There are really only three big genome centers that do this kind of work in the United States. One's here at Washington University in St. Louis. Another is at the Broad Institute at Harvard. And the third is at Baylor School of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And we're certainly absolutely at the cutting edge of this research and have produced a vast majority of the data from the sequencing perspective that's gone into these papers. So I think that Missouri can be justifiably proud of the fact it hosts one of the world's best genome research centers, and huge advances in cancer research are being made right on your doorstep here in St. Louis.